Welcome to the Messianic Message. I'm Kimberly Rogers Brown.
Yahweh, thank you, Yahweh, for all the stuff that you already did back at the foundation. Called us, chosen us, asked us to be faithful. So we seek to be faithful in our chosenness. This word to us, this revelation, illumination, all the aspects, was to prepare for the short term, to have eyes to see the short term. Not in a metaphor, but quite literally.
Okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and read this. It's short. Says that it's Deuteronomy 3, starting at verse 23 to verse 29. That is the entirety of our Torah portion this week. It says, I begged Yahweh at that time, saying, Yahweh Elohim, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do works like yours and mighty acts like yours? Please let me go over and see the good land that is beyond the Jordan, that fine mountain in Lebanon. But Yahweh was angry with me for your sakes and didn't listen to me. Yahweh said to me, let this satisfy you. Speak no more of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes westward, northward, southward, and eastward, and see with your eyes, for you shall not go over this Jordan. But commission Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you shall see. So we stayed in the valley near Beit Peor. So I'm calling this teaching today, Moses and the 11th test in the wilderness. We know about the 10 tests in the wilderness that the people in the wilderness of the people will face. I'm calling this the 11th test in the wilderness. And I'm going to be hard on Moses today because we've been dealing with 3,500 years of problems because of what Moses did there in Numbers chapter 20, which he now mentions in Deuteronomy 3. And there are serious implications to what he did. Moses failed his final wilderness test. And you know, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 10 says that the things that happened before are examples for us so that we won't do them. We'll pass these tests. So we need to know, what is this test that Moses failed? Well, let's go to the background. Moses did something in Numbers chapter 20, starting at verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? What was going on there? Well, Miriam had died, and the water was dried up, and they were complaining. Verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I've given them. Now, what does Yahweh mean that Moses and Aaron did not believe him? Moses declared to the Israelites that it was he and Aaron who had done all the previous miracles of provision in the wilderness. That's what he was doing when he said, must we bring forth water for you? So it was Moses declaring that he and Aaron had done that. And if he and Aaron were doing that, then the provisions that came forth previously in the minds of the children of Israel must have fought. And what was Moses and Aaron that was doing this? So in the final test, Moses was saying, we, me and Aaron, are fetching water for you. And what that was usurping Yahweh's authority and undermining how he had saved the Israelites. In other words, Moses and Aaron were exhibiting non-belief of who it was that had saved the Israelites. they showed that they did not actually believe it had been Yahweh all along, but them. And they made that a reality to the Israelites. In so doing, they also upheld Korah's opinion that they were indeed taking too much on themselves. What this did was it set up 3,500 years of disbelief into varying degrees in the 12-tribed house of Israel. So, you know, looking that and seeing that even the best can make big errors, and this was a big one. It was so big that Yahweh would not let either of them into the promised land. We have to understand that there is more significance even than what I've just said in Moses striking the rock. The striking foretold that the children of Israel would cause their Savior and Messiah to be beaten for them, who did go before them in the wilderness, the rock. And the rock was Messiah. Remember Paul saying that? The lesson that Moses portrays was that you get what you want from Yahweh through demanding it. We have that movement in Christianity right now, the name it, claim it movement, and go boldly into the throne room. You know, Hebrews 4:16 means to come before Yahweh with confidence, not like a jerk demanding things of Yahweh. But if you beat on the rock, you can be a jerk and it'll still pour out water for you. In this case, Moses beat the provider of living water with his rod. Of course, the rod is symbolic of the Torah. So beating the Messiah with the Torah was as if Moses himself participated in the future beating of the Messiah. He beat the rock on their behalf, just as the Romans would beat Yeshua on behalf of Israel. Moses was supposed to teach the children of Israel to have a relationship with their rock, to speak to the rock. That's what the instruction was. Go and speak to the rock. There is none in Numbers 20. But instead, he taught them to demand what they want, to beat what they want out of the rock, and that it was he, as in the Torah itself, the law, that gives them what they want. So for the last 3,500 years, Israel has thought that the Torah, not their relationship with Yahweh, is how their needs are fulfilled and how they get living water, the water of eternal life. This is an important lesson for the last generation. That's why no one understands the full significance of Moses not being able to enter into the promised land. Yes, he participated vicariously in Yeshua's punishment, but there is more to it than that. The story is for us, as we get prepared to go into the promised land, how many of us will ultimately put the Torah ahead of our personal relationship with Yeshua the rock. Will we understand what Paul was trying to tell us, that the more important thing is our relationship with Yeshua? If we have that relationship, we will automatically keep his laws and instructions. Part of the rebellion of those in the wilderness of the people will be to put the Torah, the law, ahead of the personal relationship with the king. Rather than the law being our guide, the law becomes our God that delivers us. You can't be a bride if you don't want to have an intimate relationship with the groom. And part of being a bride is to speak to the groom. Now, as I said, there will be 10 tests in the wilderness like before. These tests will put us under the rod, as it says in Ezekiel 20, verses 35 to 38. Will Yahweh save us from Pharaoh? Will Yahweh provide water? Will Yahweh provide food? Will he provide drinkable water? Will we do exactly as we are told regarding the food that Yahweh provides? Is Yahweh the one and only true Elohim? Will we reject Yahweh's provision, his presence, his salvation, his anointed, and his kingdom? Moses faced the 11th test that Yahweh's people will face in the wilderness of the people, which is learning to speak. Numbers 20, verses 10 to 12, has big wilderness significance. Will we choose to believe Yahweh and speak, or will we rely on the rod, on keeping commandments just right, qualify ourselves? Commandments qualify us only so far. The continued qualification is the personal relationship with the groom, our king, which happens through speaking to him. This was Moses and Aaron's test. What to do with the rod? What place does the rod, the Torah, have in our lives? Moses taught the Israelites that day that it was the rod, the Torah, that would save them, not a personal relationship with the rock. The Jews believe that today. They make up their own laws to try to be really good at earning merit to be in the world to come, which isn't even the kingdom. Back there 3,500 years ago, they saw how it was the law that earned them the right to enter the promised land, and Moses himself did not get to go. This has made it easy for them to dismiss Moses, to set aside Moses in favor of their own laws in the Talmud. And Christians do the same thing. Each denomination is intended to be a more perfect version, a more perfect set of beliefs and instructions than the other denominations, so that they can inherit heaven, which also is not the kingdom. And Muslims do the same thing to earn rewards of merit for their idea of heaven. Can you see the confusion caused by Moses when he struck the rock that was the Messiah that was following them in their wanderings, giving them water, instead of teaching the people to speak to the rock? Why had the water dried up? Because of the way they were acting in the wilderness. They had just passed all 10 of their tests, or failed all 10 of their tests. So how do you get the water back? How do you get your eternal salvation back after you sin? When you backslide, by beating the rock, the Messiah? No, by speaking with the rock, who is your Messiah. The law, the Torah, is the understanding that we need for our citizenship, our righteousness guidelines, you know, how to be in right standing in the kingdom. And they govern our proper behavior in the kingdom. But we would not be in the kingdom, if not for the king. The law does not bring us salvation. The message Moses gave to the Israelites that day was that law is your salvation. Thus, Jews, Christians, and Muslims seek better and better laws. The more they fail at keeping those simple instructions that he gave them, the more they seek to make up their own ways to please God. But that's not the way to please God. We please him by keeping his laws, his way. And then when something is not right, we go to him and speak to him. And he tells us what we need to do. That was what Moses and Aaron were supposed to teach the Israelites. They needed to teach the people to speak to the rock. And the first words out of their mouth were to have been words of repentance. Their rebellions had no sacrifice. This is what people don't understand. They had committed treason against Yahweh. They had rejected the royal land grant, among other things. That was the last thing. To be forgiven of treason, we have to throw ourselves on the mercy of our rock, our king. Moses and Aaron did not teach the Israelites this crucial lesson. I believe, and this is speculation, but I believe that if Moses had spoken to the rock would have spoken back and would have told the people to repent, because that's how you get to be in personal relationship with the rock, who is the Messiah, who is God, who is King, who is your Savior. Now, some people will say, well, that's preposterous, a rock speaking to the people. Is it any more preposterous than them hearing his voice from Mount Sinai? They heard his voice. A mountain is nothing more than a big rock. But they did not get the repentance message from Moses and Aaron, did they? Why did they need to repent? They had been rebellious, and Messiah, the rock, was giving them the opportunity to fix that individually, not just corporately. If they had gone to the rock as individuals, he would have chosen those individuals. He would have said they had passed properly under the rod, and they could go into the promised land. Moses and Aaron could have gone into the promised land. And those who refuse to speak to the rock, you're out. By the way, that's going to happen again in the wilderness of the people. We're all going under the rod again. But what they learned from Moses and Aaron were that Moses and Aaron were the miracles makers, and that the way you get water is by beating the rock of your salvation. And by the way, that is exactly what happened to Yeshua at his crucifixion. The other, and I believe unintentional, lesson taught by Moses was that the way you get anything is to come to Moses and Aaron, the leaders of the law. That's why everybody bows down to the rabbis, and everybody bows down to the preachers and the imams. Somebody else has the authority. Yahweh doesn't. That was the another unspoken message. So now, do you understand why Moses and Aaron were kept out of the final promise? Yes, they will be in the kingdom. Speaking to the rock is essential for us. But there is another way in which we will be tested in the wilderness, and it will have something to do with speaking or not speaking, if some people choose. Part of today's Israelite rebellion is the not speaking to each other behavior that people do, particularly when there are problems, people. I've said often in the past that I can foresee a situation in the sheep pens where you've got cliques of people standing around in opposition to each other and nobody's going to talk. And even when somebody goes over with an outstretched hand and says, come on, brother, let's work this out, and the other people are going to say, no, we're not. Those are going to be punished. Now, I shared part of what I'm going to share with you now. I shared this as Tabernacle of David Restores Men's Blessing last night. But I want to also put it on this recording for us to see how important speaking to each other is in Yahweh's sight. So it's not only important for us to speak to the rock of our salvation and have a personal, individual relationship with him, like what Moses was supposed to teach them back there. But it's important for us to speak to each other. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared Yahweh spoke often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Malachi 3:16 says, Yahweh heard the people speaking to each other. I'm beginning to think that Yahweh likes to hear us talk. He likes to hear us talk to each other. He likes to hear us talking to him. And for that reason, he regarded their often/frequent talks with each other as that they feared him. If we're not talking to each other, the opposite can be true. You know, Yahweh thinks we don't fear him. How about that? And because they spoke often to each other, he made them a special book of remembrance. Now, notice that it was those who feared Yahweh who spoke to each other. They didn't go off by themselves to talk with Yahweh, separating themselves from those who they really need to speak to, nor did they refuse to work out problems by not speaking to each other. No, they spoke to each other, and they did it often. This in itself helps us to not have problems with each other. The people who spoke with each other often, were given a special book called the Book of Remembrance, in which their names were written. The result of being written in this book is that these people get to be something special in the end of days, called jewels. They get to be his jewels. And then they also get to be spared from the tribulation. Malachi chapter 3 is an end times prophecy. Verse 17 references in that day. That's tribulation talk. This book of remembrance is specific for those going through the tribulation, even though Malachi's prophecy also had a near fulfillment. People in those times would have been rewarded with being in the book of remembrance, I believe, as well as people who have gone through other hard times as Israelites, believers in Yeshua. The point is that this book has to do with people helping each other. Now, mind you, this is not the book of life. Your name can be written in the book of life and not be written in the book of remembrance. Now, I know that there will be those who disagree, and that's probably not something y'all have heard before. The book of remembrance is a separate book. It's for those times when those people are talking often to each other. When are they doing that? During the tribulation time, because Malachi 3 is an end times prophecy chapter, okay? So you can be written in the book of life, but not be written in the book of remembrance. By the way, I have said how many times in this group we are blessed and honored to have been in this chosen generation at the end of days, because if we do this, he will make us jewels. Not everybody is going to be made jewels. This book has to do with people helping each other through what is coming, rather than adding the stress and trouble that comes with not speaking to each other. Now, Moses is remembered for his role in the Exodus and then for not being able to go to the land because he did not speak to the rock, and thus he did not teach the people to speak to the rock. Really, Moses did not teach the people personal responsibility or personal repentance. Malachi 3:16 also says Yahweh heard the people thinking about him. We don't have to do fancy rituals and long prayers to get Yahweh's attention. He knows our thoughts, and he knows when we are fellowshipping. All we have to do is just think about the rock of our salvation, and he knows it. Malachi verse 17 says, those who speak to each other are his, and in that day when he gathers us, he will make us jewels to him. And he will spare us like a man would spare his own son. Oh, how important it is speaking to the rock and speaking to each other. Inheriting the kingdom depends on two things: keeping the commandments and having the testimony of Yeshua, that you've got a personal relationship with the king, the rock. Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua Mashiach. Notice that the order of these is law first, relationship second. But that does not mean the law is more important than the relationship. Both are of equal importance. But Moses failed to teach the Israelites that. Moses used the rod the first time in Exodus 17:6 to show the authority of the covenant. The covenant is the codification of the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Moses was told to strike the rock at that time because it was an indication that the Torah is coming. The promise is going to be fulfilled. That which is going to make you a nation, the rod, the law, the codification of the promises is going to make you a nation. That's why he struck the rock the first time. But the second time, they were already in covenant. Now he's supposed to teach them to have a personal relationship with the rock. You understand? We're to understand the instructions and what they are so that we can then approach the rock, our king, because we are now in covenant. So they were not in covenant before. They are in covenant now. Now we have to have them going under the rod because of all of their sins in the wilderness and rejecting the land grant. So now the Lord is going to, he wants Moses and Aaron to teach them to speak to the rock because the rock is going to tell them to repent. Who repents, they're going in. Who doesn't repent, they're not going in. That's the message for us today. We need to get this straight. Speak to the rock. We still need to speak to him and to each other often. And we need to learn how to speak to him and to each other too. These are lessons we're still learning. And we're going to have to get it right in the wilderness of the people. This thing about I'm not going to talk to you because I have a difference of opinion or a difference of doctrine. What? That's not going into the kingdom. So let us not fail the 10 tests and then fail Moses' last test, that speaking to Yeshua and to each other, so that we do not suffer the fate of Moses and Aaron and those rebels who will be removed from a congregation and not allowed, like Moses and Aaron, to enter the promised land. Let's get this message. Let's understand what the great sin was that Yahweh would not. He forgave Moses and Aaron, but they had to suffer the consequences of what they did. And we're still suffering that. There's all this misunderstanding about who is the king, who is God, who is the Savior, who's the Messiah, who's the Redeemer, and what did he say? The Jews say this, Christians say something else, and the Muslims are over there. Let's get it right. Let's speak to the rock and let's repent and let him tell us. Let him tell us what we need to repent of. Let's get it right. Let's all go to the kingdom together, okay? Tabernacle of David preschool.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. I'm done.
Wonderful.
This has been Kimberly Rogers Brown from TheMessianicMessage.com. Thank you for listening.